Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Are you ready for more independence as a financial advisor? Are you ready for more growth and control over your future? The Independent Registered Investment Advisor, or RIA, model might be right for you. There are many paths to independence, and Schwab Advisor Services has helped thousands of advisors make the move with confidence, from defining your vision to successfully transitioning your clients. Schwab helps you build your roadmap to independence. To find your path, start with Schwab Advisor Services at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid. This is our third and final hour, and this is now April. Let's not bury any leads. Live from San Antonio at the hosting site of the Final Four, John Rothstein joins us live right here on this Thursday morning from San Antonio on the Early Line. Of course, on behalf of the FanDuel Sportsbook, doing great work covering all the madness in the big dance for CBS Sports. John, as always, we appreciate your time. Now in the month of April and just 2 days out from a Final Four inside the Alamo Dome.
Great to be here, Ben. Always awesome to visit with you.
It is always great to have you here as well, my friend. More than 48 hours away from Final Four Saturday night in San Antonio. Of course, we know the story. For the second ever time in the history of the men's NCAA tournament, joining the year 2008, all 4-1 seeds have reached the Final Four. So let's go step by step, matchup by matchup, piece by piece for what we still have remaining in the chase for a national championship. John, our first game on Saturday is a matchup of two conference foes. It's the number one overall seed in Auburn taking on the one seed in Florida. The Gators, a 2.5-point favorite in a total at 159.5. Before we dive into the specifics of this game, let's start with the big injury status we all want to know. Jahni Broome, of course, injuring that right elbow late in the second half in the Elite Eight matchup last weekend against Michigan State. Bruce Pearl telling media that Jahni Broome is still a few days away from practicing. John, from what you are hearing there in San Antonio, what do you expect that status to be for Jahni Broome come game time on Saturday night against Florida?
Well, Ben, ironically enough, I was just texting with Bruce Pearl about 20 minutes ago, and he informed me that the hope is that Jahni Broome will return to practice today. So that is obviously big news for Auburn, as Auburn is trying to move forward and get to a step that it wasn't able to get to 6 years ago when it went to the Final Four for the first time in program history, and that's get to the national championship game. So according to Bruce Pearl, he has told me that the hope is that Jahni Broome will return to practice today.
That is huge news for the Auburn Tigers and, of course, the number one overall seed. Jahni Broome had a double-double at the break against the Spartans, still finished with 25 points and 14 boards, scored at least 22 in each of the matchups in Atlanta in the South region this past weekend. All right, John, now to the actual matchup. Bruce Pearl and one of his disciples in Todd Golden. Again, conference foes that should know each other very well. Only one meeting throughout the regular season in early February. Florida won on the road against the Tigers on the Plains outright as a double-digit dog. But, John, that's now nearly 2 months ago. How much does that regular season familiarity carry over into the Final Four?
You know, I think it's going to be its own separate entity, to be honest with you, Ben. I think that the SEC was such a grind this year that every game felt like an NCAA tournament game. When I talked to Todd Golden on Monday, the biggest thing that he kind of pointed out was that Auburn was in a funk toward the end of the regular season, and it seems like the Tigers now are stepping out of that funk. So that's obviously a good sign for Auburn. We'll see whether or not it's a bad sign for Florida coming up on Saturday night.
A 2.5-point spread in favor of the Gators. Auburn has only been an underdog three previous times this season. John, let's get to the nightcap on Saturday night inside the Alamo Dome between Duke and Houston. A rematch of a Sweet 16 battle exactly a year ago. Duke winning that game as a slight underdog, 54-51. A 5.5-point spread now in favor of the Blue Devils and a total of 135 and a hook. John, this is one of the most anticipated Final Four games of recent memory. How do these two teams stack up against one another?
Well, if you're looking in terms of NBA talent and players that are forecasted to obviously be stars and real contributors at the next level, obviously Duke is going to have a decisive advantage. But this game is not played in the NBA. It is played in college basketball. And Houston has put together an elite program really because of retention, Ben. And that's one storyline that I hope gets more attention over the next couple days here in San Antonio. 29 players last week in the Elite Eight among the four teams that are in the Final Four played double-figure minutes in the regional finals. 20 of those players were in their respective programs a year ago. 4 were freshmen and 5 were transfers. Even though we are in this transfer portal climate where everything is about the edit, the post, the announcement, retention is still the most important thing at the highest level of basketball.
Of course, for John Shire and Duke, plenty of new faces led by this outstanding freshman class, but still some guys that were there last year, like Tyrese Proctor. On the other side for Houston, a lot of familiar faces for a Cougs team that had their NCAA tournament run cut short by Duke in the Sweet 16. John, as we look at these two teams, of course, it's been well reported by now that all four of these one seeds are some of the best teams we have seen in college basketball in the last two decades. When you look at Duke, the national championship favorites before the year got started, the national favorites, national title favorites, entering the big dance, and of course, the even money national title favorites entering Final Four weekend in San Antonio. What is the best thing about what the Blue Devils do on the basketball floor?
Their defense, and I think that's the thing that really deserves more attention. You know, I saw this when I was at a Duke practice early in the year. Duke's positional size is the most undervalued thing about this basketball team, really, all season long. Ben, there is not a player on the Blue Devils roster that stands smaller than 6'4", and you saw that against Alabama. Alabama in the Sweet 16 against BYU put up 113 points against the Blue Devils, only 65. And that's an Alabama team, again, that averaged 91 points per game.
25 made threes in the Sweet 16, only 8 against the Dukies on Saturday night in Newark. John, to the other side, for this Cougs team, they have reached the Sweet 16 6 consecutive years now. This is their second Final Four berth in the last 5 years. But for Kelvin Sampson and Houston, we know what it's like playing against the Cougars. They make life miserable on the defensive side of the floor. What's the biggest difference about this year's Houston team as compared to the past few seasons?
Well, if we're looking at it compared to last year, Ben, it's simply health and depth. Last year, I had the good fortune of being in a situation where I was with Houston in the first and second round of the NCAA tournament. And remember, this was a Houston team that lost Terrence Arsenault to a season-ending Achilles injury. It was a team that lost Joseph Tugler to a season-ending foot injury. And if you remember, Houston played Duke in the Sweet 16 last year, and Jamal Shedd left that game with an ankle injury. So Houston was a shell of itself from a depth perspective, from a health perspective. Knock on wood right now, everything is aligned from a health and a depth perspective for Kelvin Sampson's team, and that's why they're the pick that I made prior to the NCAA tournament to cut down the Nets, and I'm not wavering from that prediction.
John, you took the words right out of my mouth. The official John Rothstein prediction for our national championship game in San Antonio was the Houston Cougars facing off against the Florida Gators, with the Cougs reaching that pinnacle and cutting down the Nets. Why do you remain confident, John Rothstein, that that will be what we see on Monday night?
I said it before the tournament. I'm not wavering from that prediction. I think it's the continuity. I think it's also the fact that Houston has so many different players who can be the assassin. It can be Cryer. It can be Uzan. It can be Arsenault. It can be Roberts. And I also want to point this out. Juwan Roberts has the obviously unique distinction of being the only player in Houston's program that was a part of the run in 2021 and was a part of the run this year in 2025. He's going to go down in special lore when it comes to, obviously, to the history of Houston's program.
The legacy for this Cougs team, and of course with Kelvin Sampson, one of the storylines this weekend in San Antonio, where John Rothstein will be. We appreciate your time as always, John. We're on the early line. Up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
We keep it rolling in this third and final hour live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. DRS back from his break, joining us here once again, of course, on the early line. DRS, normally to start off the third hour, we want to hear from the people. Now we do it here a little bit later on into this third hour, but with a Dodgers team that has already set history being the reigning World Series champs. Yesterday's victory and the walk-off homer from Shohei Ohtani, an 8-0 start, the best start we have ever seen in the history of Major League Baseball for a reigning World Series champion now belongs to the Dodgers. But maybe that's not just the only history the Dodgers make this year. Reigning World Series champ or not, can the Dodgers get off to the best start we have ever seen in MLB? Can they have the best regular season we have ever seen in a long grind that is 162 games? That's what we had to ask all of you and fade the public. At Sports Grid on Twitter, DRS, will the Los Angeles Dodgers break the single-season wins record in Major League Baseball? That would be moving past the Seattle Mariners in 2001, who won 116 games. So at least 117 wins for the Dodgers, certainly on pace for that right now. Preseason win total for LA was 104 in a hook. Well on their way to that number as well. Will they be able to do it, DRS? That was the question at Sports Grid on Twitter. Yes or no? Still, most of the public saying, I'm a little bit hesitant. 56% of the public saying the Dodgers will not win at least 117 games this year to set the single-season wins record around Major League Baseball.
Which tells me I got to know if the Padres are going to be battling for 105-plus wins. The reason why I bring up the Padres is if they're going to stay undefeated, you need a running mate if you want to win 117-plus games. Because it doesn't make any sense to say we're 20 games up on the Padres. We're in second place with 19 games to go, which means it's insignificant the rest of the way. How many wins you pick up, and should we be throwing our best starters in the rotation or starting to set the tone here for limiting the arms and the innings to make sure we have a great playoff run and everybody is happy? Because it's one thing to say you're going to win 100 games just in the normal, you know, season progression. That's probably going to get you in the first place and an overall seed that you would want. 117 games probably means you blew everybody out of the water, and the meaningfulness of that final season series for saying, you know what, do we actually have to play these games or do we want to win them, or does it matter? That factors in. So for me, I voted no just based on that. I don't know. Can the Dodgers win 117? Absolutely they can if they play all the way through. Do the Dodgers need 117? No. Nobody remembers, hey, Seattle Mariners, what an awesome season that was. They got blown up in the playoffs right away. You think the Dodgers are like, hey, man, we won 122 games this year, then lost to the Phillies in round number two, just say. They don't want that. So I don't think they want to get there, which means I'm betting against it. I voted no. I'm with the 56%.
Listen, I agree. I vote with a no as well, DRS. It's 162 games. You are going to see teams, even outside of the sensational LA Dodgers, win 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games in a row this year. It does not mean they are going to set history. One of the reasons, of course, we are discussing it for the Dodgers, they're the reigning World Series champs, already with a loaded team who got even more loaded this winter and offseason. They have an all-star team that plays for them on a daily basis. Even when they drop, even when they fall behind 5-0, they can come back and win a game. Will they be the best team ever? I'm not so sure they'll get to 117 wins out of 162. Will they be favored to do so? Yes. And what I mean by that is to get to 117 wins, as you see it on your screen, is only a 4-1 price. That's pretty crazy. To get to the century mark is minus 700. That updated win total from 104.5 before the year to 108.5 is already where it stands, and minus 1050 to have the best record around MLB. All of those make sense, DRS. I actually think a 4-1 price should probably be a little bit juicier than where it is at plus 400 to make Major League Baseball history. But one of the reasons I think you could actually bet that number, the Dodgers are what, going to be favorites in 155 of 162 games this year? So the idea they could win 117 of the games the odds makers booked them as the favorite and expected side to win is not the craziest thought.
No, it's not the craziest thought, but also understand this. Like, I would actually, if we put the graphic back up and you say, which price point would you actually rather take at this point? 100 plus wins. What's the no on that one, by the way? Like, it's minus 700 to get 100 plus wins. I would
I don't think there is a no
on them getting 100 wins if it was a possibility at a good plus money number. That's still a ton of wins. And again, you could still run away from the division with 96, 97, or 98 wins on the season. And yes, you're right about that. 117 wins at 4-1 should be more of an elevated number, but also the capitalization of the market with FanDuel understanding what the fans are watching now. Hey, bet against the Dodgers. Good luck, right? That's at least already 100 wins since they won their first 8 games of the season. What if they were 5-3? I don't know if they get to 100 wins. See how crazy that sounds with so many games left on the schedule?
Yeah.
So I would bet against the Dodgers, understanding this. You're betting against a great price point. It's not like, hey, I'm going to take the Dodgers plus 100 to not win 100 games now. That's foolish. That's not what the numbers are. But what those numbers tell me is a special season of 117 plus wins, which we don't see all that often, right? I'm only getting a 4-1 price, but a 100-win season, which is a sensational season. If it was priced to the no, you'd probably get an unbelievable number right now in the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is not the no out there. And just to echo Donnie's point, last year was the first time in, I believe, a decade since 2014 that nobody reached the century mark with 100 wins around Major League Baseball. And that included a world-beater-type Dodgers team that, of course, did get better this offseason, but was also incredibly and insanely stacked last year at 98-64. I do think the Dodgers are going to get to 100 wins. I do think it makes some sense for them to get to 110. But the idea that just because they have started a perfect 8-0, they are going to make history after history after history is not exactly what we are going to see. But, I mean, this Dodgers team is loaded. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Dustin May is back for LA, Yoshi Yamamoto, Roki Sasaki, and Shohei hasn't even pitched yet, DRS, and already has 3 home runs this year. Is he going to pitch?
Exactly.
When is that going to happen?
I guess he will. Like, we're trying to figure out like what the actual prognosis would be.
No, the whole year?
He's so dominant. Just leave him alone. Just let him hit 60 bombs in the leadoff spot.
NBA games to break down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, a six-game slate on this Thursday night around the association. About a week and a half remains in the NBA regular season to get to 82 games. Every team has played at least 75, so seven or fewer games remaining for all 30 clubs around the association. DRS, let's start with a great one tonight in Los Angeles, a California clash between the Golden State Warriors, who sit in the five spot in the Western Conference standings, a half game in front of Minnesota, the other LA team, and the Clippers. And of course, also in that mix is, why am I blanking on the team, the Memphis Grizzlies on their slide, taking on a Lakers team that is currently the three seed in the Western Conference. It is basically a pick 'em tonight in Los Angeles, minus 112 now for LA, minus 104 on the other side for Golden State. Over under stands at 229. How do you break down this matchup in Los Angeles?
Yeah, looking at the minimal movement here from this morning on the FanDuel Sportsbook in New Jersey, -2-point favorite, now down to -1 as a favorite for the Los Angeles Lakers. In this environment, again, finally we get one of those games like, hey, 16-point spread, don't really care who gets it. This is a big game for both of these ball clubs tonight that sometimes you just lean towards home court advantage. Both teams not worse for the wear with any rest disadvantage at this point. You see the estimated starting lineups for the Lakers: Luka Doncic, Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, LeBron James, and Jackson Hayes. And then for the Warriors, Curry, Podziemski, Moody, Butler, and Green. So full gas on both sides. I'll go with the Lakers. It's their home game. If this game was being played in San Francisco, I would have gone with the Golden State Warriors. It's that thin and it's that razor sharp here at -1. Give me the Lakers at home to prevail tonight.
The Lakers had dropped four of their last five. They have won two straight, including against both the Rockets and the Grizzlies, other NBA Western Conference playoff contenders. Of course, Golden State has won three in a row. They have been booked as a favorite in all three. They have covered in their last two. Since adding Jimmy Butler to the fold, DRS, in that starting lineup, really when that happened on February 8th against the Chicago Bulls, this Golden State team has been dynamic. They were 25-26 at that time, a game below 500. Jimmy hasn't played in every game, but Golden State is 19-5 since that moment, right before the All-Star break, a successful run for Golden State. Again, the Dubs in the five spot in the Western Conference standings, half game lead over three teams at 44-32, T-Wolves, Clippers, and Grizzlies, the Lakers three games back of the Rockets. For the two spot in the Western Conference, slightly in front of the Denver Nuggets. Can the Miami Heat make it seven consecutive wins at home tonight on the second leg of a change of venue back-to-back, leaving Boston, now being back in South Beach at home? Or can the Memphis Grizzlies snap a crucial four-game skid? They got to start winning some games if they want to be out of play-in tourney position or just playing good basketball down the home stretch. The odds makers expect Memphis to get a win on the road. What does DRS say?
I do, too, and I like this spot for the Memphis Grizzlies, and it's apparent here. The Miami Heat on a win streak here. Take a look at the Memphis Grizzlies going in the opposite direction, but yet we have a line that opened up at -4 here in New Jersey on the FanDuel Sportsbook that now sits right now at 4.5 points as a favorite towards the Memphis Grizzlies. Total in this game, 227 down to 224. Understandable, even though we know Memphis likes to play at a little bit faster pace, obviously, the Miami Heat, and the Heat played last night in the TD Garden up in Boston. Just looking at a spot with a team that desperately needs a win, as if it's like a championship game. It feels like that's for the Grizzlies. Will the Heat play strong? Will the Heat, you know, try to back up that win streak? Yes, they will. Perfect spot for the Grizzlies tonight. They have to get it done, and I'll lay the 4.5 points.
DRS, on this four-game slide, Memphis has been booked as the underdog three times, hasn't even covered in those games. Miami has covered in all six victories, four times as a favorite. The Grizz were 36-18 at the All-Star break. I thought I was going to fly to the over of my win total bet on the Grizz preseason, 46.5. They now have to win three of their final six to get there. They are 8-14 since the All-Star break. DRS, as you said, the tank is on for Philadelphia. They have lost nine consecutive games. They're a 12-point home dog tonight against Milwaukee. The Bucks trying to position themselves in the Eastern Conference standings. Should it be an easy victory for the Bucks tonight in Philadelphia?
Yeah, it will be. They'll win this game and win it by margin. The minus 11 is already up here at 12 to the FanDuel Sportsbook. Some outlets even showing 12 and a half at this point right now. Total of 226 and a half. It's the simplicity of the sport, Ben. One team in the Philadelphia 76ers are telling you, we are not going to win a single game the rest of the way out, and I'm going to make sure of it, which means the general manager and the head coach are in lockstep with this, as you see some of the rosters that the Sixers are putting out. Yeah. Unlike in the NFL, teams winning games they shouldn't have to, and then you cost yourself draft position. The reason why it's so important, Philadelphia, top six protected lottery pick. If it finishes 1 through 6, they get that pick. They need to get that pick. Sixers get blown out tonight.
From Perspective with TV Tom next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Prop Perspective live right here on a Thursday on the early line on Sports Grid. It is TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid joining us here on TEL. Tom, as always, appreciate the time. Thank you for being here. The jack of all trades on full display today. A six-game NBA slate, a shorter slate in MLB on this Thursday, but still plenty of best bets and picks to give out.
Yeah, we got a lot to cover. Like I said, smaller slate for MLB. Some teams are traveling. We got a little bit of weather concerns there. We're in the final few weeks of both the NBA and the NHL. Let's get to it.
Let's dive right in, Vecchio. A California clash late night in Los Angeles in basically a pick'em between the Lakers and the Warriors. If you've listened to Donnie Wrightside, he has not exactly loved handicapping the end of the regular season in the NBA. It is hard to get a feel of what roster is going to be out there. What is the motivation for his team? Are they in the playoff race, hunting down a play-in tournament spot? All of that good stuff. Well, it seems as tonight, fully healthy on both sides, both teams trying to improve their playoff positioning in the final week and a half of this regular season, leading to that pick'em number. So, Vecchio, how fun of a game is this to handicap tonight in Los Angeles? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is basically the ideal spot late season NBA. Like, we have two teams, like you said, fully healthy. They both have very clear motivation to play and win. We're not dealing with some dramatic lines as we saw the other day, like, or not just, you know, between these teams, but dating back with past phases, we're seeing spreads that are like 14, 15 points. That's not what we're going to see. Close game, two teams fighting for spots. I really like the under in this game, and it's among those things that you said. Again, we have teams that are fighting for playoff positioning. The Nuggets have lost two in a row, which means the Lakers have jumped up to the 3 seed. Now, I don't think they're going to jump up to the 2 seed. I just don't think they'll catch the Rockets at this point. But the Warriors are playing great ball. Both teams are still in the top 10 when it comes to defensive rating. So very clear motivation of playing win. And, you know, Donnie, we could talk about rotations. Like, this is the spot that we know who to trust. Like, we know everything about these two teams at this point in the season. So it's not like we're seeing the Lakers play the Spurs, even though obviously the Spurs putting up a nice performance last night. But we have two teams that want to play defense, need to come away with the win. And I'm going to take under 229 and a half. That's where it was last night. I still think it's playable at 229.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game tonight. Again, just both of these teams playing hard. You know what the estimated starting lineup is going to be. You shouldn't get too many surprises tonight, which is great. Now, there have been some surprises here in the Western Conference throughout this season, which includes the Rockets, who currently sit as the number 2 overall seed in the Western Conference at 50-27, 3 games clear of the Los Angeles Lakers and the Denver Nuggets. Talking to, you know, earlier, myself and Ben, 35-1, though, to win the Western Conference. So when you take a look at those top six standings, the Nuggets, they've won world championships. The Golden State Warriors as well. The Los Angeles Lakers with LeBron. Check, check, check. The question, though, is the Houston Rockets. Are we to believe that they are going to be a contender, which means, Tom, they can win a couple rounds and find themselves in the Western Conference Finals? Or is it fool's gold? And that's what the FanDuel Sportsbook is calling them right now with those price points.
I think that's what it is. If I remember correctly, Ben, you had a ticket on the Rockets to make the playoffs. I think maybe that was last season. I don't know. But they had a dramatic increase this year.
It was last year.
And I think it was last season. I knew it was something. But I think that's what it comes down to. Like, the Thunder have that star power with SGA. The Lakers, the Nuggets, they proved it. The Warriors have proved it. The Rockets have had, like, too much of an increase, and it's a great story for them. But I really don't think that they have the pieces to win multiple rounds. Can they win a round if they end up playing, like, I don't know, the Mavericks or the Kings, whoever comes through, like, in the play-in? Sure, but I don't think the Rockets are going to beat the Thunder or beat the Nuggets in a 7-game series.
Just to clarify, Vecchio, I have a ticket right now on the Rockets at a 17-1 number, bet back in late January, because I thought they would be in this spot. 2 seed, 3 seed in the Western Conference, and my price would get better. In fact, it has doubled, and then much in the similar philosophy, if you remember a couple of seasons ago, on the Sacramento Kings, hoping they would finish in the top four in the Western Conference at a 50-to-1 price and find some value there. I wish it was just a make playoff number on Houston. Vecchio, as we look at the play-in tournament standings right now in the Western Conference, in the final week and a half of this regular season, it is really fascinating. We talked about Golden State. They have a half-game lead over Minnesota, the Clippers, and, of course, the Memphis Grizzlies. All three of those teams, Memphis, L.A., and Minnesota, 44 and 32. Vecchio, when you look at those teams then down the stretch in their final five, six, seven games this year, will you add in that extra bit of motivation to try to get out of the play-in tournament and just be a playoff team from the start?
Yeah, it has to. We have to add that in. Like, that's one of the variables that we don't always talk about. It's like not something you can easily handicap. But the Clippers are the clear answer here. Like, Memphis is a mess. Dallas just doesn't. They're not deep enough. The Kings are also a mess on defense. The Kings are minus 900 yesterday, losing to the Wizards. Like, what do we do? These are teams that we can. At least we have something with the Clippers that we know. Whether they make the 6th seed, the 7th seed, whatever it might be, I think we need to start trusting the Clippers more and more. And that's something that we have to be accounting for at this time of the year.
We take a look at those standings, too, because let's have a little fun with this, because you see 5, 6, 7, and 8 right now, which is right on that cut line of who's actually in the playoffs automatically in the top 6 or who's going to play in those play-in rounds. So the Golden State Warriors, 44 wins. The Minnesota Timberwolves, Tom, 44 wins. Same thing with the Clippers and the Grizzlies. 2 in, 2 out. What's that decision for you? Who's in and who's into the play-in rounds?
I can't trust Minnesota. They've been a team that's been super streaky, at least in my mind this year. They started off super slow. I don't know if the trade was just some like lingering team effects that had them like take a step back, but I can't trust them. I see Golden State as a team that you don't want to play. And if they end up in the 5 seed, it'd be, you know, they could come up with a second round upset. It'd be 1-4 on the other side. Like, they could beat anyone. And that's a team that I think you should be looking back. If you don't have a ticket on them, it wouldn't be the Rockets. The Lakers take too much public money. The Warriors are a team that are at least fun at this point.
Since Jimmy Butler's first game back on Saturday, February 8th, Golden State is now 19-5. Now, Jimmy hasn't been in the starting five in every game or fully healthy in every game, but still, it has been a great sign for Golden State. Vecchio, only a 5-game slate on this Thursday in Major League Baseball, but a ton of day games in that 5-game slate as well. Let's focus first on Camden Yards. The Orioles and the Red Sox, a divisional duel between Boston and Baltimore, and a pretty good pitching matchup. Old Uncle Chuck, Charlie Morton for the O's, taking on Tanner Houck on the other side for the Sox. How do you break down the matchup?
There could be some offense. It's like 75 degrees. There's about 14 mile per hour wind blowing out. So this could spell some shorter pitching matchups. So I like Charlie Morton under 5.5 strikeouts. You know, Boston, they're striking out, or at least, you know, Rafi Devers is striking out. So striking out a lot to start this season. I don't want to look at just the season. If we include last year, 2024, to the first few games of this year, with their current active roster versus righties last year, it was at 23. It's a 23% strikeout rate versus righties. Like, that's not dramatic. Like, it's below the league average. It's not amazing, but it's not terrible. We're not talking about 28% here. So Morton is a pitcher that is never going to be pumping that 28% strikeout rate. It was 23.8% last year. Plus the weather, this could be a short outing for Charlie Morton. So give me under 5.5 strikeouts at minus 102.
Love it. Wind blowing out in those first two games here on the East Coast in Philadelphia and Baltimore. Something to keep an eye on. High temperatures into the 70s there. Should be some fun. But late night tonight, if you will, 7:40. That's the latest start tonight in Major League Baseball. Cincinnati and Milwaukee from the Dome in Milwaukee. Lodolo, the lefty, on the mound for the Reds. And then Nestor Cortez, the lefty for the Milwaukee Brewers, who got lit on opening day, or one of the first two games there in Yankee Stadium. A total of 8 across the board tonight. Side total, team total, Tom, what gives tonight in this game?
Let's go to the Reds team total over 3.5. It was sitting at minus 128 a little while ago. The Brewers don't have a good pitching staff. That's what it comes down to. And you want to look at the first series, they gave up 11 runs or whatever it was to the Royals the other day. So far this season, they are dead last in the league with a 5.28 xFIP. They're allowing 2.89 home runs per nine. The Reds, Donnie, as we've discussed, they were a fun team. They may not be amazing, but they have some power in that lineup. And you give me Nestor Cortez versus going up against Ellie De La Cruz, we're looking at multiple bases for him, probably some RBIs, and more importantly, the team total. It's 3.5. I saw it jump up to minus 140. I still think it's playable there. The Reds put up some run against the Brewers.
My sweet Cincinnati Reds, only two wins so far this year. I need over 79.5. Let's start it today, Vecchio, the opener of a four-game set in Milwaukee over the weekend between the Reds and the Brew Crew in NL Central divisional duel. Tom Vecchio, as always, the prop perspective, sensational. Thank you for being here on this Thursday. We continue to go around the bigs up next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a five-game slate on this Thursday around Major League Baseball. A lot of teams have the day off. It could be getaway day and a series finale for some, or the start to a weekend set in other spots. DRS, let's begin with the New York Yankees and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Yesterday, matching a career-best 13 strikeouts, Zach Gallen and the Diamondbacks knocking off the Yanks inside Yankee Stadium. Despite a late Anthony Volpe three-run home run in the home half of the ninth to provide a little bit of hope for the Yanks, Arizona does prevail. Merrill Kelly gets the start today against Cookie Carrasco and the Yankees. New York booked as a minus money home favorite, minus 120. Total stands at 9.5. Pretty lofty total for early April up in the tri-state.
It should be, by the way. 70 degrees expected around first pitch tonight here. Wind blowing out double digits to left field. So we have all of that environment that we love at Yankee Stadium, that when the weather is nice and the wind's blowing out there, it turns into a little bit of a bandbox. So having said that, you look at Merrill Kelly, first start of the season, pretty good. His ERA, 1.69. ISO power number, weighted on base percentage through 23 batters he's faced. Very good. But again, it's just one start on the season. You flip it over to the other side and you take a look at Carrasco. Not a lot to love about his first start, because if you just break it down in simplicity, a 13.5 ERA tells the tale. Only 11 batters faced. They've hammered him. ISO, weighted on base percentages, all high there. But also understand this. We're now getting to the point where at least we have 10 at-bats or more against, let's just say, lefty or righty splits here. You look at the Arizona Diamondbacks entering into this game, the estimated lineup, at least the top seven, going up against right-handed pitching this year, weighted on base percentages as followed: 481, 376, 515, 369, 760, 564, 472. Small sample size, really good numbers. Struggling pitcher in his first start, maybe that bodes well. Now you take a look at the New York Yankees lineup here for you, Ben. Same thing. Merrill Kelly, though, strong start to the season in his one start, but weighted on base percentages here for the Yankees. If you start with Aaron Judge, 406, 467, 489, 435, 554, 858 in limited at-bats of around 10 at-bats or less on the season against right-handed pitching. Just makes sense. I like the under yesterday in the Bronx. Today, complete opposite. I like the over. The pitching matchups, decent. Hitting weather should be there. Ball should travel.
Juice on the over as well at minus 124 now live on the over 9.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Could we see it touch double digits? Maybe so by the time we get to first pitch tonight around 7 p.m. Eastern time. The Yankees swept the Brewers in their opening three-game series in the Bronx, now in danger of being swept in this three-game set by the D-backs. If Arizona wins today, they are the slight underdog with Merrill Kelly on the mound, DRS. After splitting their opening four-game series against the Cubbies, that'd be a sweep. That'd be a 5-2 start for Arizona.
Yeah.
You look around the National League West, Dodgers 8-0, Padres 7-0, Giants 5-1. Right now, the D-backs 4-2. And then there are the Colorado Rockies with just a single win so far this season. Now, nobody in the NL West has played a divisional foe just yet. The Rockies hoping to avoid a sweep as well against Philadelphia today. In Philly, afternoon baseball, 1:06 p.m. Eastern time, first pitch in the Phils. DRS greater than a $2 favorite. That total of 7, that's a thing of yesterday. 9.5 is now that live number with, again, some early April warm weather and some wind that is blowing out of the ballpark at Citizens Bank.
There you go. Look at Taijuan Walker, minus 319 favorite today with a 7 total sign. That's like the Giants total that another outlet listed for us that we absolutely hammered to the over. Now, granted, it is higher, and even if it's 7, 8, 9, 9.5, I don't think you'd have any worries here. I do expect runs in this, but it's coming mainly from the Philly side. Senzatell, only 55 batters he's faced last year. brutal. Only faced 21 batters this year. Lefties absolutely hammering him, which means you go right to the Philadelphia Phillies and take a look at who has done damage. You've right-handed pitching, left-handed bats. Kyle Schwarber, 11 at-bats this year. He has ISOs of 545 with a weighted on-base percentage of 463. Bryce Harper, left-handed batter going up against a righty. 273 ISO, 434 weighted on-base percentage. Newcomer, Max Kepler, 9 at-bats against right-handed pitching. 667 ISO, 604 weighted on-base percentage. Bryson Stott, 9 at-bats, a 500 ISO power number, and a weighted on-base percentage of 451. I like a lot of action here for the Philadelphia Phillies at the plate today. And keep in mind, we just talked about the Bronx and New York and Yankee Stadium. In Philadelphia today, a day game, about 68, 69 degrees at first pitch, 15-plus mile-an-hour winds, sustained dead out to center field for this game. Lift up. Launch it out of the ballpark. That's what you get. Now, having said that, well, Donnie, why don't you just take the Phillies and it should be an easy runaway? Here's the issue. Colorado stinks at the plate. They're a bad baseball team. But you know who else is really bad? It's Taijuan Walker at pitching. So maybe it's one of those, you know what, just take the total or a team total for the Rockies because Walker's just a terrible pitcher. I can't go that far. I'm confident that the Phillies will hit, probably score at least 5 runs today, which means some of the big boppers from the left-hand side will do some damage.
Yeah, maybe some RBIs on Bryce Harper, on Kyle Schwarber. Team total for Philadelphia DRS is 5.5. The under has the juice. It's a pretty lofty team total for early April in Major League Baseball. First of a 4-game set today in Milwaukee between the Brew Crew and the Reds. NL Central Divisional Duel. And again, as we shared with Tom Vecchio, Milwaukee and Nestor Cortez, ever so slight favorite, minus 118 on that money line. Total now stands at 8. How do you see this game playing out today in Milwaukee?
Hey, it's kind of crazy. Look at Lester Cortez. And again, a decent pitcher for the Yankees throughout his career. Goes over to Milwaukee. He plays the Yankees again in Yankee Stadium. Like, hey, he probably knows those guys, knows how to pitch in that environment. I think every single batter he faced hit a home run off him.
Yeah.
Again, not a great start. You expecting a bounce back in this, which I do lean towards the under. And here's the reason why. Nestor Cortez is a decent pitcher. Yes, he struggled against the Yankees. Different environment here. Roof's going to be closed in Milwaukee. Not a ton of carry. And not really a pitcher's or hitter's ballpark, per se, swaying either direction. But you just look at the Reds. Minimal at-bats this year against left-handed pitching, so it is buyer beware. Matt McClain in the leadoff spot threw 4 at-bats as a 750 ISO, which means an extra base hitter, 2 of those 4 at-bats. But the rest of the lineup, let me just read you the ISO power numbers this season, which, again, is inconsequential because of how many bats they've had. But it goes as follows, Ben. 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, and 0. So there you go. Good luck in that. Just give me the under to start the season. Cortez bounces back today.
8 is that total. Again, in Nestor's debut as a Brewer against his former team in the Yankees, is Nestor Cortez to blame for the torpedo bat controversy around Major League Baseball? Gave up 5 home runs and only 2 innings up in the Bronx. The only other game we did not hit on, the Twins hosting the Astros today. Minnesota, a home favorite, minus 120. DRS, we send you to the money line, my friend, but we'll talk tomorrow. Yep. Here at 8 a.m. Eastern time on the early line. Have a great time on Moneyline, I'm sure.
Friday.
Ooh, I like that. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, rounding out our 3 hours together on this Thursday. I am Ben Stevens. Final Four Friday, as DRS said, right before we hit the break, and his final segment is tomorrow. We will preview both matchups on a Final Four Saturday night in San Antonio. But it's also Final Four Friday, not just from the preview perspective or here on the show, but in the games that we will see in Tampa for the women's NCAA tournament. And much like we saw in the men's NCAA tournament, it has been mostly chalk. Now, it's 3-1 seeds in a 2-seed, but that 2-seed was not your usual 2-seed. It's Paige Beckers and the Connecticut Huskies, who are the odds-on favorite to win their region, despite being on the 2-line, even with USC as the 1-seed. And then after the unfortunate injury to Juju Watkins, it was really all UConn, led by Gino Auriemma, into their 24th Final Four under Auriemma. And that's where Connecticut still stands. UConn is the national title favorite in minus money entering Final Four weekend in Tampa. Minus 155, though, that updated number on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it was minus 170 just yesterday. UConn will take on the number one overall seed in UCLA. That's one matchup in Tampa. The nightcap on Friday. The first is an all-SEC affair between South Carolina and Texas. The Gamecocks, of course, have won two national championships in the last 3 years. They are the reigning national title winners, but they have been tested into the round of 32 and beyond in the NCAA tournament. And they were tested by Texas in early February in Austin. Now we have two conference foes squaring off, and South Carolina is a 4.5-point favorite in the first of two tomorrow night in Tampa, tipping around 7 p.m. Eastern time. That makes sense. South Carolina should be booked as the favorite. These two teams have played three times this year, including a highly anticipated SEC tournament title. South Carolina won that game by nearly 20, winning by a 19-point margin. South Carolina has won two of the three against Madison Booker and the Longhorns this year. But Texas did make a little bit of history in that matchup in Austin in early February. The Longhorns won that game outright as a slight home favorite, 2.5, 3.5 points, 66-62, snapping South Carolina's 57-game SEC win streak. That game at home for Texas, this one, of course, on a neutral site in Tampa, 4.5-point spread. But South Carolina has been in a couple of dogfights into the second weekend and beyond in Birmingham. They were tested by Maryland, trailing into the final few minutes in the Sweet 16 matchup against the Terps, and a low-scoring affair against Duke on Saturday night or Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon it was. We had a tied ball game with about 2.5 minutes remaining between the Gamecocks and the Blue Devils before South Carolina prevailed. This is going to be a test against Texas. After the Longhorns pulled off the upset over South Carolina, I bet Texas at a 7-1 number to win the national championship. Of course, that price a little bit longer entering Final Four weekend at plus 850 because they drew draw South Carolina. In fact, my other national championship bet back in late January was on an unbeaten UCLA team that was looking supremely talented this year, and yet, in my estimation, was not getting the credit it deserved in the national title odds. That was a plus 550 bet on the Bruins, led by one of the best bigs in the sport in Lauren Betts. Unfortunate for me to see both of my numbers a little bit longer now than they were even about 2-3 months ago. Why? Because of how great Connecticut has been and because, of course, the pedigree for South Carolina. UConn is a minus money national championship favorite entering the Friday night finale in the Final Four tomorrow in Tampa, Florida. UConn, a 7.5-point favorite against UCLA. UConn is a 2 seed, but only in name. UCLA is the number one overall seed and yet an underdog. Connecticut has won 14 consecutive games by at least 14 points, including all 4 games so far here in the women's NCAA tournament. That even dates back to the ending of their year through early February and their most recent loss to Tennessee. That includes nearly a 40-point win on the road in Columbia against South Carolina. It makes sense. UConn is an odds-on favorite to win the national championship. Paige Beckers is an odds-on favorite to win the most outstanding player award. She has been lights out so far in the NCAA tournament. But I do think UCLA keeps this game close. Ultimately, I do believe the Huskies will win. I think the Bruins can stay inside the number. Key matchup to me, Lauren Betts, the big for the Bruins, against Sarah Strong, the outstanding freshman on the other side. We'll talk more about those games tomorrow. The early line returns on a Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.